Hello, dear friends, truth seekers, and curious newcomers to our brand new program. This is our third program on Earth Harmony Divinations. My name is Elizabeth Peter. I will be hosting this show every second and fourth Monday of the month. First off, I would like to give you a brief outline of what you can expect from my show in every show. My mission statement is simple: focus on sharing, abundance, and gratitude at all times. Be ethical and use intuition, not fear. Yes, folks, as we are at the dawn of the spiritual age, or the age of ethics, our focus is zooming more and more on to ethics. From the age of powers, we're moving to the age of ethical powers, integrity and intuition. So everything we think, do, say, create must have the qualifier ethics. It has to pass the ethics test, and it has to be based on intuition. Of course, we will also have time to take your calls, so please feel free to call in any time. You will not be interrupting anything. I would like to invite your feedback, thoughts, and insights on any subject we may be talking about. The subject that we will be discussing today is the history and origins of the wonderful divination method, the Tarot. But you can also call in on any other subjects that we discussed in the past. My first show was on abundance, and the second show was on the Mayan calendar. And you're welcome to check those out in the archives at any time. If you don't have time to call in, you can always check the archives and listen to any of the shows that have been taped. In fact, you know, I would like to start each show with a short abundance intent or prayer. And after that, we will have a short discussion on a current topic, which will be the Tarot this evening. And after that, I would like to take some call-ins for anyone who wants an intuitive free reading. Let's make those calls short, perhaps only about 5 to 10 minutes, so more people can be accommodated. And try to please focus on just one question at a time, because we are on the air and we have a lot to cover. Again, more information can be found about me on my website at redlotus.org, or you can shoot me an email at elizabeth@redlotus.org. I will try my best to take as many calls as I can on the air, but if we run out of time, please feel free to email me with any questions. Again, that email address is elizabeth@redlotus.org. Now that you may be able to find me and find out about me, let us begin with the abundant intent. Let us take a very deep, long breath, focus on our third eye, and here we go. Abundance intent. I focus on the Buddha or the Holy Spirit, the higher self, Om God, you fill in the blank, within, as the only source of my prosperity. I know this inner presence as the only activity in my financial, personal, health, career, you fill in the blank, affairs, as it is the substance of all things visible. I trust in the principle of abundance, in action within as without. Thank you. So now let us move on to today's topic. It's a big topic. It's going to take a long time, and I may not have time to finish it today. But I certainly would like to get started, and perhaps at another show we can go more into more detail about it. And that is the history and origins of the wonderful divination method, the Tarot, which is one of my most beloved tools of divination that I've used over the years. Over about 30 years, to be specific. The Tarot has been my faithful companion for at least that long, since I was about, I'm not going to mention my age. I can't even remember how many decks I used up over these years. My personal encounter with the Tarot is very unusual. I always felt that I was a little strange, withdrawn, different from others, even my own family members. I did manage to fit into my environment as best as I could, but somehow I preferred nature and animals as my most beloved companions. As I was growing up, I had the good fortune to be living in a village with lots of room to roam around and to be part of nature. We had some small farm animals as well, so I was used to being close to the basics of earthly existence. Now I fast forward to the age of 19 when I just freshly arrived in the United States, and I had the great fortune to become fast friends with a delightful, youthful, vibrant 94-year-old Hungarian woman. And I enjoyed visiting with her because she was just so delightful to talk to her, and talking to her was something that became somewhat of a mentor relationship. I used to take her in my car for outings, to the doctor's appointments and whatnot, and I slowly became her little disciple, I should say. This is how I discovered the divination method she used with simple playing cards. She would cut out pictures from magazines and then pasted them onto regular play cards. And this way, he used her deck for divination purposes. I was newly married at the time, very, very young at the time, and in a short few weeks, I was shocked when she predicted that my marriage will not last. I will not stay married to my husband. Long story short, I got hooked. I jumped on to the subject of divination and metaphysics, and shortly after, I purchased my first tarot deck. Like many ignorant souls, I was not really aware of the origins and history, not even what most of the symbolism really meant of the tarot. During my long 30-year journey with the tarot, I stayed faithful to just the one classic deck, the Rider-Waite deck. Why? I have no idea. Maybe because the images on this deck made such a deep imprint in my brain that if I was to use a different deck, I would feel uneasy. In fact, I did try, and I just felt very uncomfortable with any other decks. So I stuck with my Rider-Waite beautiful imagery, and the tarot remained my right-hand companion. And I never go anywhere without taking a deck with me. I even keep one small deck in my car, just in case. Over the course of these 30 years, I've used my tarot in almost every single reading I gave to my clients. I developed my own personal style, of course, as I believe there is no set rules when it comes to divination, as long as you work with dignity, integrity, ethics, and, of course, you only work with the highest source, spirit, the living blessed oracle. Now I'm going to go into the history of the tarot, and I hope we will have enough time for this subject. It's so vast, but perhaps I can just we can just take a glimpse at it so that we will all have a little bit better knowledge of it. Maybe we will devote another entire show to this. The origins of the tarot really leads us back to many millennia BC. No one really knows the exact time. They're estimating the origins back to ancient Egyptian times, B.C., perhaps 10,000 or even 25,000 years B.C. in ancient Egypt. Egyptologists all agree that the pictorial symbolism of the tarot depicts the mother goddess, none else. The original name for the goddess was Tarut, T-A-R-U-T, or it also had a softer expression, Tarut, with an H at the end, to which our English word truth can be led back to or traced back to. Even the word church comes or originates from this word when you really soften the T on both ends of the word. And so through the ages, the great goddess behind this divination was called countless names, of course, just to mention a few: Iftar, Mayat, Hathor, Ishtar, Isis, even Lilith in the Celtic traditions, Shiva in the Hindu traditions, Inanna in the Sumerian traditions, just to name a few. And then later times, by the Greeks, it was called Sophia. And in Christian times, of course, it became known as Mary or the Madonna. this feminine goddess remained in our collective consciousness, even survived the beatings of the Judeo-Christian eras of the last 200-300 years, and made a successful, of course, they made a successful attempt to destroy or denote the image of this feminine goddess to represent something very negative or shadow element of our existence. The fact of the matter is that this feminine goddess is indestructible. It is alive, it is a living oracle, and it lives within each of us, each and every one of us. And to invoke it, we just have to go into a communion with our intuition. Some call it guardian angel or a higher spirit or God. But society always had its shamans, seers, even though they were suppressed most of the times. In the last 200 years especially, these seers, shamans, certainly suffered severe persecutions. And in today's world, an average person doesn't even know about these symbolisms, doesn't know about, the feminine goddess behind so many symbolisms that we live with every day. Today's human beings are playing many roles. Mother, father, employer, student, etc., facing many complex decisions on a daily basis. It is more needed than ever then that we receive direction, guidance, clarity to reorient ourselves and not waste precious energy on making the wrong decisions. Because wrong decisions consume more of a waste of time, which is a precious commodity in our time. We need to get in touch with our inner voice, which really resides in the right brain. This inner voice talks to us very clearly through the great visual imagery of the Tarot. It is very direct, short, and therapeutic to use in our everyday lives. It brings the magic back into the humdrum of daily life, in my opinion. We all need specific shortcut answers to so many of our life's questions. The Tarot is an age-old, fantastic tool to help us do just that. Now, truly, there are a number of charlatans in our midst who take advantage of the vulnerabilities of many and who use scare tactics or fear or make up stories that are not possibly real and are not really qualified to interpret this wonderful living oracle. However, I think we need to use discernment, our own intuition, to judge and feel comfortable with whomever we trust with our questions. Even those who have a very devoted religious practice can usually question the validity of the Tarot. Christian devotees especially are very skeptical, yet, you know, many priests even turn to intuitive and use the Tarot occasionally. And so, in fact, it's ironic that, for example, the Bible is really nothing less than a collection of predictions and prophecies, especially if you look at the Revelations. It's a huge collection of prophecies. And so, if we look at the Tarot, there's two most important factors that we need to consider. One is the shedding of disempowerment. Everyday people in our world today are extremely disempowered as soon as they become, as soon as they are born, as children, as students, in school, at work, at home. You know, there's always someone or some authority taking away their personal power. And that just goes on and on. So really to tap into this incredibly therapeutic tool to bring the balance back into our world, activating the right brain magic of intuition of ourselves is incredibly empowering. And it enriches our lives. The number two is role-playing, our daily roles by changing hats in so many decisions that we face on a daily basis, you know, from anywhere from being a mother, a child, a president, a teacher, a student, or whatever your roles are, this can really heal yourself, as it always brings you back to your center. It brings you back into your balanced power center. And so, again, it is a healing therapeutic tool to recover yourself from the demands of daily life. Of course, if you look at science, it is not really concerned with our well-being or whether we are balanced. Our children are not currently taught to harmonize the left and right brain, and I hope in the near future it will be an important part of early education in our schools, where we will be teaching our children to tap into their intuitions and balance both sides of the brain. That is my prayer and hope, that within our new golden age, that is going to be an everyday educational matter. So the Tarot is just one part in the chapter of many, many myriads of symbolisms that was left to us by our wonderful ancient ancestors. Many great researchers and writers, such as Joseph Campbell, Robert Graves, Eric Newman, in their work, in their life's work. Oh, we have a caller, so I'm going to interrupt it and take this call. Hello, caller.
Hi.
Hi, who is this?
My name is Joy.
Oh, hi, Joy. Thanks for calling in. You have a question?
Yeah, I was wondering if I can get some insight about my life for the new year.
Okay.
Is it all right to ask?
Yes, sure. And what is your birthday, Joy?
I just had one, December 2nd, 1968.
Okay. Okay, let's ask the Tarot, if you don't mind, since we're talking about the Tarot. Have you been able to listen in?
Yes, it's fascinating.
Okay. Let's take a nice deep breath, Joy, and ask Spirit to join us. Tell me when you're ready.
I'm ready.
Okay. I see a real closeness around you in the new year, or even current times, Joy, with your mother. Is she visiting you recently?
I just saw her about a month ago.
Oh, okay. I guess she is very much with you right now in spirit. She is cheering you on to work yourself through in this difficult period of your life. It seems like you are beset with a lot of problems at the moment. But I see you working through these issues, you know, financial issues and moving issues. Your marriage is, of course, still very solid, but I see you juggling a lot of problems right now, Joy. Yes. And I see a beginning of a way out of your problems. Just as early as we get into 2008, I see you moving into a new home, which I know you've been waiting for a long time. And so that will be probably a wonderful resolution, because you're running out of space here, right?
Yes.
So have you been looking for a new home yet?
yes, but it just seems like lately we've hit a slow period.
Okay.
My husband's work, and then with what I'm doing with my business.
Yeah, I see the earliest that I would say you will be able to find a home would be April of next year, mm-hmm. in the spring sometime. I also see improvement in your husband's business, so that I will see some extra promotional work, such as, you know, maybe people bringing in orders, you know, like the private business that he is in will increase gradually after February of next year.
Are you talking about where he works or the business that we own?
The business that you own.
Okay.
I see an increase there.
Because
you might lose a few contacts, but then you are also gaining better ones in its place, if that makes any sense.
Yes,
maybe
you're
you
right
lose
on
some
about
of
a
the
lot
useless
of
ones, you know, the little ones that are just wasting your time.
Yes, I just let go, spiritually let go.
Oh, really? Okay.
So it's funny you should say that.
Yeah, I see good news around a house, like I said, around April. It's something that fits your needs and your financial budget, and it's coming through a wonderful younger gentleman who knows you well. It could be a family friend, or you know, maybe they are letting you move into a house they're moving out of. It may not be through regular real estate channels. It may be through just friendships or people you know.
Oh, interesting.
So you may not have to pay any extra fees and things like that.
Uh-huh.
So it will save you some money. I think you're going to love this new place, Joy.
Oh, okay. And I just wanted to find out, with my business, is it finally going to be the kind where it's a living wage?
I think you're going to finally start making a decent income with that, yes. I think you're just going to have to really prioritize and focus on, like I said, the good contracts that are coming in, the bigger contracts, and let go the little ones.
Mm-hmm. Because I'm making the push for my business to go national.
Yes, I think you can do big. I see the water element is becoming very strong in your chart, which means communication increasing. So you will be communicating on a larger scale than ever before.
Oh, I see. Okay.
That is being activated in the year of the rat, in the year of the earth rat. More so the latter part of the year, like after July, rather than the beginning. I think you're doing a lot of groundwork kind of stuff in the first part of the year. But the second part is really just like going on autopilot, you know? So it's going to be an exciting year for you, Joy.
Because that's exactly what I'm doing, is I'm laying the groundwork for taking our business in a different direction.
Yeah, and I think you will continue to do that in the first few months of the year, too, not to mention with the move in April, that will take up quite a bit of time. But after July, things will really start to go smoothly for you.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm sorry, that's all I have time for the moment. Because,
thank you.
You know, let's give others some chance too. And of course, you can always call me back at another time or send me an email. You know my email address?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay.
Thank you for the
invitation. Calling, Joy.
Okay.
All the best of luck. Bye
bye.
Okay, so let's go back to our discussion about the Tarot and its wonderful history. We were talking about how the Tarot is a part of a larger picture of symbolism that has been left to us by our wonderful ancestors and incredible writers and researchers such as Joseph Campbell, Robert Graves, Eric Newman, for example, in his book, The Great Mother. They all devote their entire life's work to this incredible subject about the Great Mother, the Great Goddess. And our human existence as we know it is made up of course, mind, body, and spirit. That's how we know it. But then there's an additional part that we forget about, and that is our wisdom body or the imagination body. This wisdom body exists in every one of us. Yes, this has been the most suppressed part of our lives throughout history, at least over the last 200-300 years. But we know that when we look at children, for example, they understand it so quickly, you know, when you start bringing out the imaginary in things. I mean, that's why we see so many of the fairy tales and incredible writing, that the magical writing that came down the ages. So we know that this imaginary magic wisdom body exists in all of us. Of course, children, until they're led to learn about the linear way of thinking, once they get forced in schools to think differently, they quickly forget this imaginary body. As adults, they lose touch with this magical world of wisdom. And it is a sad fact of our times now. However, in just our current recent times, we are now so hungry and thirsty to reclaim this wisdom body, and that is why I believe that the Tarot is still incredibly powerful in that everyone is starting to find out its incredible effects and significance. This actually leads to my topic of divination itself, if you have time for that. Yes, we do. Unless anyone wants to call in, this would be a good time to call in. What is divination, actually? What is the meaning of divination? Well, divination is an age-old way of using some form of external tool. It could be anywhere from an object someone holds to, of course, the tarot is a significant imagery tool, or runes, the I Ching, some use coffee, tortoise shells, stones, you name it, writing, all kinds of objects. These are the external tools that we use to invoke or connect to our inner living oracle or wisdom body, because the mind loves to connect through images or through objects into this right brain location of our intuition. So the purpose is to connect to our inner intuitive consciousness, and that is where it resides, this intuitive power, this source, this incredible source that, of course, connects to the higher sources. And so when you know how to tap into that, when you perfect your intuitive powers, then you know exactly what the oracle tells you, and you know that it is the truth that you are seeking. There is no question or doubt about it. Of course, we have our skeptics, and healthy criticism is always welcome, and we should be very critical of what goes on in our environment, because there's a lot of falsehoods going on at all times. There's a lot of charlatans out there who work with negative forces and can use the art of divination in a negative way, and they can also, of course, increase our doubts about the effectiveness of this wonderful tool. But let's not forget that this tool is still there. We just have to know how to use it, and we have to use it correctly and with ethics and with integrity. It is most vital that that we only tap into the positive source of spirit rather than anything negative or fearful or, you know, scare tactics. Do not listen to anyone who gives you all these scary images or tries to intimidate you in any way. Then you know that they're moving in the wrong direction, and I would just stop right there. The quote from Carl Jung says, "Nothing in life is to be feared, only understood." So unless you understand something, that means, you know, seek out the answers first. Seek out the knowledge before you shut your mind and live in fear. At least that is my motto as well. So since the wisdom body lies within all of us, even the most hardcore critics will find that there is a part of them, there's a subconscious part of them that will resonate with the truth of the tarot. So, you know, even if let's say you have someone who is extremely skeptical and shut down, you may say the magic word or the magic statement that they were hiding so carefully, and there it is. It opens up like a flower, and they realize, wow, you know, how did she know that? And that is not really, you know, some kind of a voodoo spell kind of a thing. It's just that an intuitive person will know how to reach that tapped oracle within a person. It is also a sad fact that we are so surrounded with sacred symbolism, and yet we are so amazingly clueless about most of it, because we are disconnected from the teachings, the knowledge, and the history of the rich symbolism of our ancient human history. For example, the 22 cards of the tarot are said to relate to the 22 letters of the Egyptian or Hebrew alphabet. Even the word Torah originates from the word Torah. And you can look up a lot of this information, actually, and I'm not going to go into more details about the symbolic connections of the Torah to many other existing symbols in our current life. Robert Graves in The White Goddess, in the book The White Goddess, goes into incredible detail about the symbolic origins of the great goddess and how it is connected to almost all of the symbolisms that we currently use in our society today. Of course, in Sanskrit, the Sanskrit alphabet has 52 letters. It also relates to the Torah's major arcana, because if we add that in, then we have 52 cards. So in summary, the Torah, a Torah divination is really not just a game or some kind of a fad. It should not be taken lightly. It is a very powerful tool. It is an enriching, balancing, and empowering tool to heal us, to bring us back into balance, to find clarity and direction in our lives. And so it is the most amazing tool that I find is an excellent divination tool for the purposes of the work I do. I use the Torah in addition to the Chinese Bazi divination method that I also rely heavily on, and I would like to devote another show just to Bazi and explaining where the Bazi divination comes from. And of course, the Torah is will remain my beloved tool forever. The Rider-Waite cards are just so beautiful and so colorful. When I do a reading, I don't really use any specific layout even. I just keep on pulling cards and they just speak to me. So they're very dear to my heart. If you want to learn about the Torah, it is best for you just to practice with yourself, with your friends, with your close ones, with your loved ones. Keep practicing until you're starting to see the patterns of the meanings that jump out at you once you really tune into that part of your brain. Of course, using meditation and breathing and some study, of course, about the meanings of the cards, I could send you to a wonderful website by Michael Tassarian. His website is called taroscopes.com. It's the word taroscopes.com. He has a very detailed website about the different meanings of the cards. He even goes into, when the cards are upside down, etc., and he gives you a tremendous amount of information about each and every card on every the major arcana and the minor arcana. I specifically don't differentiate much between, if a card is upside down versus when it's not upside down. I sort of read it like a book. I read the cards next to each other, and I just tune into my own intuitive mind to decipher what the connections are. Of course, also listening to my client's voice and tuning into his or her oracle, I'm able to bring together a shortcut, clarity, summary of what is going on and where he or she is leading with her decision making or the path that he or she will be choosing. So it is something like everything else in life. You have to keep on practicing, and by trial and error, you can perfect your skills with it. It's not something to be feared or to be, you know, all freaked out about. These are images, and we always carry images in our minds on an everyday level. We're always imagining things. Our mind is very picture-oriented and image-oriented, more so than linear, of course. The written language is very young. Our greatest archetype really has been pictorial. It's always been established in images, especially colors. You know, the more colorful, the better. And certainly this deck, the Rider-Waite deck, is nothing but incredibly colorful. I love both the major arcana and the minor arcana specifically. And you have to use them in unison. I don't like to separate them because they almost like they belong together like a big storybook. You don't want to rip out any pages and get bogged down into details about any one particular card. For example, let's just take one very misunderstood card to me, that is the card of death. You know, people freak out and they say, oh, you know, that's the death card. Well, to me, that card really never really means death. What it means really is a major change. It is a change, an inner change, or it could be a change that's both internal and external. It could bring about something that is expected to change. For example, a change of career, a change of marriage, or some major life change in one's life. What's really representing me with the passing of an earthly life is, amazingly, maybe it may be shocking to some people, is the card of the sun in the major arcana, which is the number 19 card. It depicts a young naked baby sitting on a horse, and the sun is shining down brightly. There's sunflowers in the background and a beautiful red flag. And this card invariably shows to me that, for example, an elderly person is about ready to prepare for their next existence beyond this one. So if I see someone's elderly parent or something, I can see that they're in and out. They're already going to the other side, getting ready to pass. Also, another interesting controversial card would be the tower. A lot of times towers come up because we have some unresolved issues in our lives, and we need to pay attention to them. It doesn't represent external calamity or, you know, somebody attacking us. It's quite internal, and it happens usually from within. You know, we are not in balance with something within ourselves. It also could represent substance abuse, where substance abuse can really take us out from our center and create immense imbalance in our lives. Another part of that would be the devil card. Again, very scary to some people. You know, none of the tarot cards really should represent fear, only reminding us of our past in life and the choices we may have made that we need to change if we get these darker cards. They're just reminders that perhaps we have been overly abusing certain aspect of our lives. Let's say we became workaholic, or we became too addicted to certain substances, and that it is becoming too testing for one of our either our physical bodies, our mental bodies, or spiritual bodies. And of course, there's lots of beautiful cards representing friendships and children, our wealth and abundance, that, of course, is a wonderful part of the tarot. I love the ace cards, which always show new beginnings, especially when they come in pairs or three of them at once. They can really depict wonderful new beginnings, such as a new marriage or a new career or a new job, an offer of some sort, financial offer, love offering. Even the Ace of Swords, I like it because it can be an offering of some sort, even if it's a challenge. You know, swords sometimes represent challenge in our lives. Cards that come in with the number two numbering on top usually brings us doubts and limbo situations that could be represented by that. I love the major arcana card called the Hierophant, or this priest-looking card. To me, this is always a representation of a spiritual growth of some sort in a person. But it can also represent marriage. It can represent inner growth. And it's just a beautiful visual image of inner balance that someone finally reached after so many trial and error or perhaps struggle in life. And of course, I love our other major arcana cards, such as the High Priestess, the Emperor. These are cards of beings, whether they are here with us in our lifetime or from the beyond, that are beings who are here to support our journey. They could be our guardians or loving spirits, who are always here to help us through whatever challenge or difficult road we happen to be on. Remember, we are never, ever, ever alone. There's always a way out from any situation, and this is what the tarot is so terrific for. It always shows you a way out of any calamity or quagmire that you might think you're in. Is always somehow there's a point pointing to the road away to get out of that situation. So, my dear friends, I always believe that there is no need for fear. And when we can just remember that and instead of fear, always switch our minds to knowledge, empower ourselves with our intuitive powers, and empower ourselves with the knowledge of resources that you find on the internet, in books, study about yourself, study about these intuitive sciences. You will realize that we are so not alone. There is no need to get stuck or be sucked into any fear-based ideologies or dogmas or any sort of fear-based belief systems, because we are here as empowered, wonderful light beings, and each one of us is equipped with this incredible living oracle. The tarot, like I said, is just a little tool in the many, many, many tools out there that is available to us. And if we master it, we can be quite balanced. I believe that it helped keep my sanity, you know, over many, many years. I have a very curious personality, and I think a lot of us do, and we always want to know, what's the next step? What's the next step? How can we get out of this trouble or that situation? And what a wonderful way that our ancestors figured this all out already for us. of course, you know, the great mother, the great feminine goddess is always there to help us. Some of us believe that is Mother Mary. Some of us believe it's Inanna or Isis or whatever name you want to use, you know, Madonna. The truth is we always live within the protection of this wonderful Mother Goddess. And the Tarot is definitely proof that it will never, ever be oppressed, suppressed, or go out of fashion. It will always be in our DNA, in our archetypal memory, in our subconscious. So there is no need to fear it. There is no need to give in to the powers that would like to suppress it, because it's impossible to make it go away. So, when we are in the most intimate times and the most difficult times, a lot of us, we pray to Mother Mary. Those who are not familiar with any of the other symbolisms of the goddess, of the great goddess, they work at least with Mother Mary, or in Asian traditions that would be Kuan Yin or some other representations of the goddess. She is all around us. Even some symbolisms talks about how in ancient times people believed that the night sky with all its stars was really the symbol of the womb of the goddess. Even when they used fireworks, fireworks were symbolic of planting the seeds inside the womb of the Mother Earth or the Mother Goddess to represent, abundance for future. That was a symbol of celebration. And so the womb of the Mother Goddess was sacred. This is why people did not even cut things. They would not even cut plants. They would be very gentle with everything on this planet. How far have we come from that notion? How far have we come from that great, respect of goddess-based belief systems? We need to go back to that, I believe, and we need to respect our Mother Earth, and we need to believe that we can empower ourselves to be those gentle, caring beings who can be balanced again, both with our intuitive powers as well as our technology or our science. Whatever we learn, that doesn't have to be excluding the intuitive powers that we are also here with. We don't need to suppress our imaginary, wisdom, magical part of ourselves, but use it in terms of advancing ourselves, advancing this world we live in. Our world can be a happier, more healing, and more incredibly abundant place. And that is my message for today, my dear friends, and perhaps in the next few shows we can go further into the history of the feminine goddess traditions. If anyone wishes, I would love to get more feedback from you, of course. If you'd like to know more about it, let me know, shoot me an email or call in. You can also visit my website and check up on what other messages I have up there. I have some newsletters and monthly predictions, for example. And in future topics, I could go into other, discussions about Nostradamus, for example, or what are the sources of intuition, where is our source of abundance, earth-based abundance and the golden age. Where is the golden age? When is it coming? What is the difference between meditation and prayer? These are still some of the topics that I would love to get into in our future shows. shows. I'm surprised you did not call in more, but that's fine. Maybe at a future time, I will let people know more in advance that I have this show going. But right now, I'm still new at it, and I hope you bear with me. And we will be able to accommodate callers, and perhaps I will also bring on some guests in some future shows. I also like to close with an abundance gratitude prayer. Also, I would like to remind you that because we're in December and the next show would fall on Christmas Eve on the 24th, I will probably just run one of the archived shows at that time. There won't be a live show the second time around, so please do not expect it to be a live show on the 24th of December, but I shall return the following time, which I can't remember. That would be January of 2008. The second week of that January month. I'm not sure. Okay, the 24th. The following Monday is the 31st, so I would say it's probably the 6th of January, but I'm not exactly certain. No, it's the 7th of January. I think that would be my first week. My first show, let me see. Actually, no, the 14th of January sounds like that's the second Monday. So in January, the 14th and the 28th would be more likely when my live show returns. So with that, I would like to close and take a deep, deep breath together. This is our closing gratitude intent. I know I am grateful, and I know that there is nothing that I could truly desire that is not at this very moment standing at the door of my consciousness, ready to appear in my life and affairs. I am only to be conscious of this truth, and every need is met, every problem solved, every question answered. My consciousness of the Holy Spirit, or whatever your belief is, you can fill in the blank. My consciousness of this Spirit within is all I will ever need for all eternity. And so it is. Thank you for joining me on this show. And I'm looking forward to more calls in the future. And have a wonderful, blessed winter holiday season. Blessed be all. Thank you.